Today's shiur will be beginning from the bottom of Daf Pei Vov Amud Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. Before beginning the shiur, we recommend your printing out the Daf Gemara. And even better, we recommend ordering your own volume of the Shas Ozer Maseches Bava Basra. We're picking up from a point in the Gemara which is in the middle of a discussion. In order to get back into the discussion, we are going to take advantage of our topic heading that you find on the outside margin. The Nosei Mivneh, we feature a triangle, one of our geometric forms that we use in order to create a series effect or connecting similar ideas. In this case, the title, the heading on the outside says, these triangles are kushois al hodi omru Rav u'Shmuel, or questions or challenges to what Rav and Shmuel had said. Kur v'shloshim ani mocher loch. They said that if someone offers to sell a product and say the kur, which is a measure, a particular measure, I'm going to sell you a kur at the rate of 30 units of money. Yochol lachzer bo afilu b'so achrono, that the seller can back out, or both parties, in fact, could back out up till the very end. In other words, the sale is not said to be a sale until the full measure is measured out. That was their ruling. At this point in the Gemara, we're going to be starting a second question. As you notice, there is a triangle that appears a few lines up, representing the first of these challenges. As we look in the Gemara, we also notice in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, the triangle with a dashed vertical line, which indicates the length of this question, and it will continue till Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. So if you have a Gemara volume in front of you that you already ordered as recommended, you can easily see that. And if you're using the screen, you can scroll ahead and notice that this dashed line continues till the top of the next Omid, to Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, indicating the length of the question of the challenge. We also encounter a framed source, in other words, a framed section of the Gemara. The frames in our marking scheme represent Tanaic sources, Mishnayos and Brises, or the restatement thereof. This is to set them off from the rest of the Gemara text. Toshma, let's continue now inside. Hasocher es hapoyel lasos imoy lagoren. One hires a worker in order to provide services during the harvest season. The goren, for our purposes, is a season that is later than the time the balabayas, the owner of the concern, is hiring. There's a gap in time. So he's hiring him now in order for him to start doing work later on, in the goren period. Hayom bedinar ulegoren yofesela. The worker rates are as such that at the time the owner of the concern is dealing with the worker rates are low. They're one dinar per day, we'll say. But in the later time period, in the goren period, the same worker would get a sela, which is four dinar. Four times more profit, higher in the salary. The Tanaic source says, Osur lehenos hemenu. It's not allowed. This arrangement is not allowed. The reason being, it looks like ribis. It looks like interest. Let us take a look at the Rashbam, starting at the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis, Hayom Bedinar, Klomar, Kol Yom Sheyemos Agoren Bedinar. He says that I will be paying you for each day of the Goren period, the later period, a one dinar per day. V'nosan loy achshov shloishim dinar l'shloishim yemei agoren. And he advanced him money. He gave him, in anticipation of 30 days of Goren work, he gave him 30 dinar now. So what do we see? We see him advancing money as he's talking to him, 30. in anticipation of the worker providing 30 days of work during the high season. We refer to high season meaning the high rate season. The source says that this is not allowed because it looks like interest. How is it that it looks like interest? Well, in exchange for the worker getting the advanced money, he will be providing a service worth more. That's basic interest. In terms of our common experience, one receives a loan of money and he pays back more money later on. We're learning right now Maseches Bava Basra. We don't have to get into the depths and the fine points of Hilchos Ribos, but the idea one can easily see. Getting something now and paying back more later on. Avol, the source continues, Im sochroi mehayoim bedinor liyom ulegoren yofesela muter. If, however, the worker starts working from right now, and the agreement is he's going to get the lower rate through the Goren, the high period, but he starts working now, that's okay. This too, the Rashbam clarifies. Let us take a look. Fourth line from the top, Avol im sochro mehayom, mea yom, b'mea dinar. I want you to work for me 100 days in exchange for 100 dinar. V'nosan lo schoro achshov. And he pays him now. U'legoren hoya yochel istakar po b'sela. And in the high season, he could have profited it more. Dainu dala dinrim liyom. The sela is 4 dinar per day. Kevan sheme oiso hayom shesochro oise moi. Since from the day he is being hired, he starts working. Mutor, it's allowed. Shekol pula sameya yomim keyoy mechod oruch damyan. Because we view the 100 days of work as a singular unit. V'lo have agar notarli, and it's not agar schar is payment, notarli for waiting. Sharei miyad hischu b'puloso. What happened? He immediately started working. So there's no waiting. He's getting paid for work being performed immediately. And it's as if he started the high season from right now. At this point, the Rashbam now ties it into the Gemara. And we'll use the Rashbam as an introduction to what we'll see in the Gemara. The Rashbam continues, V'ha-ha-ha. This arrangement, Techi, Kur b'shloshim saw b'selahu. It is similar to the arrangement of a sum total, kur, the large amount, for a total of shloshim, and a kur contains in it 30 saw, it's a subunit of measure, and if one kur is 30, so saw, one saw would be a selah, 1/30. Sharei hizkir losay slo dinor liyom. In the worker arrangement, he said, I'm going to hire you for 100 days, for 100 dinar, 1 dinar per day. V'lo ko'amar le'istamo. He didn't say to him simply, ad yemois ha'goren eni sochar cho b'me'a dinar, that I'm hiring you till the goren season for 100. V'yafilu hachi katoni mutar. And even so, even though it was delineated, it's an acceptable arrangement. V'chayav lahashlim, and he has to pay up. V'kashya lahani diamri rishon kona, v'ashar lo kona. What we're saying here in the worker arrangement is presents a problem for the opinion that said each subunit is acquired immediately and the rest is not acquired. V'kevon shezel lo kona, according to those that say the subunit is acquired and the future, the total amount is not immediately acquired. Why am I mutter? Why should this be allowed? Ha'kivan diyochol achzer bo, since the party could back out after every subunit, as was said when the subunit is mentioned, this was the Rav Shmuel Halacha, that if you mention the subunit, each subunit is considered a separate deal. The chol yoyim v'yoyim choshuv schirus b'fnei atzmo. Each day is considered a separate hiring. Havinami agar notarli linyan yemos agoren. the balance is simply an as yet not arrived at period of time. And if the Balabais advances the money now and the worker repays in service at the higher, during the higher season, the higher rate season, it's like interest. Sharei b'Nisan osan lo schar yemois ha-goren, in Nisan time, which is a few months before the Goren period, he gave him his payment for the Goren season. Ve'inu lo chayli ad shiagir yemois ha-goren, and those yemois ha-goren days don't start until they actually arrive. Let's see this now in the Gemara. We're going to pick up from the third line, from the top. Ve'i salka daitoch. If one will assume, like Rav Ushmuel said, kur b'shloshim, sa'o b'sela, ani mocherloch, rishon rishon kona. If a seller says, I'm selling you 30, kur contains 30 saw. I'm selling you a kur for 30 sela, 30 pieces of sela. That's a type of coinage. Sa'o b'sela, and each individual saw will be costing you one sela. And Rav and Shmuel said that Rishon Rishon Kona means that each subunit is considered a separate deal. And as a result of calling it a separate deal, the parties could back out at any point along the way. Hachinami, in the case of the worker as well. Kamo kamo, mifsak posak. Each day is considered a separate hiring. V'osur lehenos hemenu. And it would be forbidden for the owner to receive services from this fellow during the high rate season in exchange for the low amount that was paid to him in advance. Therefore, midinar liyom ulegoran yafesela mutar amai. This is a quote from the source at the top, where if the arrangement was dinar liyom, and in the high season, we know that the daily rate is worth more. The ruling in the source was that it's allowed, but why should it be allowed? V'ho agar notar lihu. Being that each day is considered a separate unit of work, how is it mutar to advance him the money during the low season and then receive in exchange the services in the high season in exchange for having received low season rates? Omar Rava, Vetisbara. Rava says that you've got to explain this. Why should this be osir? Zilzule v'schirus mi osir. Is it forbidden to offer services at low rates? Can a fellow not accept low payment for services? Let's take a look at the Rashbam. V'tizbara, d'lehevei osir. You have to explain, why should this be osir? Why should this be forbidden? V'chil zuzule b'schirus mi osir b'tmiha. Can one suggest that one cannot charge less for his services? V'afilu hecho dehiktim lo hadinor minisan. And even in a case where advance payment at the low rate was made, and the services were not provided until later during the Goren season, the high season, midoraisa shori. This min haTorah, from the Torah standpoint, is quite all right. Delo domi lo lahalva velo lemekachu memkar. This is not a parallel to a case of a loan. And it's not a case of a sale. The isbe oino bitumekach. In the case of transactions of sales, there are other halachas that apply, namely overcharging and the ability to call off deals. Tahasam vadai ki mozu gabe michtei shavio. In a case of a sale where a person advances money at a lower amount, and in exchange for advancing the purchase price, he receives an expensive item later on. Bishvil Hakdomas Mois, the seller was willing to charge less because he got the advance payment. Nimsa Shanoise Lo Yosem Michte Adomim Shekibel. When in the end the seller offers the item that's expensive. That is a problem. Avol schar tirchos shel adam leko aganatali. But as far as wages paid, you don't have the same principle of schar for waiting. The derech poil lahaskir atzmo b'chol shehu k'she'en lo ma'yochal. It's common for people to hire themselves out for less than minimum wage, even when they've got nothing to eat. V'chol ma'she mekabel hapoil mibal habayis revachu etzlo. And every amount the worker gets is pure profit for him. V'ilko hach seifo leko tzad ribis klal. The end of the source, where we saw advance payment, where he would start working from today, in exchange for the continued work during the high rate season, there's no element of interest here. And as a result of this analysis, namely, worker wages are not like cases of loans and commercial transactions, purchases, sales and purchases. Being that's the case, what's the difference? Why should the source make a distinction between the first case, where work didn't start immediately and we said it was forbidden, and the seifo, where the work started immediately and we said it's allowed? Since we've now established the principle that it's allowed for workers to charge less if they want for their services, so why in the Reisha did it say that the arrangement is not acceptable? That's what the Gemara says now. It says, Maishno Reisha u'maishno Seifa. Being that workers are allowed to charge less for their services, why is there a difference between the first part and the second part of the source that we saw above? The Gemara answers, Reisha. In the case of the Reisha, the Gemara is going to tell us, as Alpi, if we'll feed the Rashbam's explanation, is a matter of mere stringency. It's not something that's forbidden by letter of the law, but because we sometimes want to act in a more stringent fashion than the letter of the law requires, there's room to enact such a stringency in the Reisha. How is that? In the Reisha, the lo ka'ovid behedya, mehashta, he doesn't start working immediately. What do we see? We see a worker getting a pouch of money, advance payment, and nothing done in exchange right now. What's going to be provided in exchange will be down the way, later, months later. Oh, merci ki aga notali. That already looks like ribis. The expression aga notali is an expression that refers to ribis. It looks like interest. In other words, I'm going to give you money now, and I'm going to wait for you to pay me back in services later when those services are worth more. Hence, that looks problematic. Seifa de ka'ovid behedya mehashta, in the case of the seifa, where there was a large amount of money paid, but work started immediately, lo merci ki agar notali, it doesn't appear that there's any issue of waiting, because he's starting to work immediately. And hence, the distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa. As a result of this discussion, though, the Din of Rav and Shmuel stands. They were talking about transactions and how you view a situation where a large amount is mentioned and then, as part of the deal, the sub-amount is mentioned as well. And we said there that you can back out at any stage of the way because each subdivision is viewed as a separate transaction. And as far as the issue of the advance payment for workers is concerned, the topic is not related. As we continue in the Gemara, we're going to take a look at our topic heading before proceeding in the text. The Nosei is Eich Mo'ila Tlishas Kolshehu L'Knois HaKol. How are we to understand that which was said in the Mishnah that if a person detaches some produce growing, a small amount, that with the detaching of the small amount, he thereby gains ownership of everything? The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, V'im Hoya Mechuber B'Kaka, the Tolash kol shehu kona. The Gemara asks with wonderment, mishom detolash kol shehu kona, because he detached a little bit of a flax from the field, he thereby gains acquisition of all of the rest. We'll take a look at the Rashbam toward the end of the narrow lines. Umatmihin means in wonderment. Mishum detolash kolshu min hapishton kona kol hashar hamachubar bakarka. By detaching one stalk of pishton, does that enable him to acquire all of the rest that's attached? Vamai mi koni hai b'meshicha dehech. How is it that by drawing one stalk, he gains the rest of the land, of the pishton growing on the land? Omar, the Gemara continues, Omar of Sheshes, Ocha b'mayaskinan, the Omar lay, lech yipo loch karka kolshu, v'koni kol ma she'oleha. The Mishnah is referring to a special deal, where the owner, the seller, says, go and improve a little bit of the land, in this case, by removing a stalk. He's making the land, he's clearing a little piece of the land, making it available or preparing it for the future plowing that's necessary. So he says, if you go ahead and make a little kinyan on the land by removing a stalk, you thereby will acquire the rest. What we see from here is, in effect, not a kinyan meshicha, like we thought in the question stage. We see here rather a kinyan chazaka taking place. It's a different form of kinyan, and a kinyan chazaka is the required form of acquisition when dealing with land and items attached to the land. The Rashbam, on the second line under the Gemara, toward the end of the line, it's dashed, underlined for emphasis, we'll read inside. He says, "V'also masnisin lashminan the cheskas karka mahani lepishton." That the kinyan chazoka that he makes on the land, namely by detaching something that's currently attached to land, works for acquiring the flax. V'afal gav the lo zovin le'ara. Even though in this particular deal we have the landowner not selling land, he's selling flax that are growing on the land. V'ashminan nami. And another point that is being revealed is that chazoka kala tibalikita sapishton miktsaso, that with a small act of ownership, namely of detaching a stalk of flax, yocholiknois hashar mechubar, he thereby is able to acquire the rest of the attached flax. Ukidon jamaleha mocher laket mina pishton atzmo ktsas v'yisyape hakarka v'yenoki lecharisha, by the owner, the seller, saying, clip off a little bit of pishton, and thereby making that little spot, preparing it for plowing, and thereby acquire the rest of the stuff, of the rest of the flax that are growing there. This is a kinyan chazoka, as we said earlier, and hence it works to acquire the rest. The Mishnah. Hamochir yayin v'shemen l'chavero v'hukru oy shehuzlu. Two parties agreed on the sale and purchase of wine or oil, and after they agreed on the price, that's what we've written in here, is achar pisuk kadomim, after agreeing on the price, there was a change in price. The market prices of these things either became more expensive or went down. Imad shaloi nismale samida, if we're at a point in the transaction where the measure being filled up has not been filled up, then la mocher, it's considered still in the reshus of the mocher, and any changes of price will have to be either enjoyed or absorbed by the mocher. Mishin ismales hamida la lokeach, if the measure was filled up, the vessel that was being filled up was completely filled, and then there was this change, la lokeach, then the purchaser has to deal with it. Vim hoya sarsur beinehen, if there was a intermediary, an agent that was serving to connect the buyer with the seller, and they were using his vessel. Nishbura hechavis, nishbura lasarsur. If the vessel breaks, it's his loss. It was the sarsur's vessel, and if it breaks, it's his loss. The Rashbam comments on this. We'll take a look at this. Hoya sarsur b'neim v'amido shaloi ken mefarsh b'gemara. V'derech hasarsur liknois mi balabayis u'mochir la'achirim u'marviach. The way of agents is to acquire from the seller and turn it over and eventually sell it on to buyers. And he serves as an intermediary, and hence he's able to profit in this transaction. The Rashbam continues, Nishbura lasarsu, the konile kelev shel sarsu lasarsu, the vessels that the agent was using served to acquire the material for him, if it's the oil, if it's the wine. Kidesanileo, as was taught earlier, v'im hoisa mido shel echod mehen, rishon rishon kona. As we learned earlier, if the vessel belongs to one of them, so every amount that's put into the vessel, it becomes his. The komash malon de lo amrinon de sarsur enu ela shlucho shelokeach. We are not going to view the sarsur as a mere emissary of the purchaser. Ukshenis males nishbara lalokeach, and we're not saying that when it gets filled, then the lokeach has to absorb the loss. But rather, we're looking at the sarsur as this intermediary, as a separate owner, if you will, in the link of events. Hirkino umitzis, are hu shel mocher. If after the oil was poured out, the vessel was then straightened out, and there accumulated at the bottom of the vessel from the residue that was on the walls, there accumulated at the bottom of the vessel oil. This accumulation is said to belong to the seller. There is a note here in the reading of the Mishnah to now read that which is in parentheses from the line before. V'chayov lahatif loy shalosh tipin. The seller, after he pours out from his vessel into the vessel of the buyer, he pours out the bulk of the vessel to the point that we would consider the vessel to be empty. However, there's more dripping that takes place. The seller is responsible to continue the dripping to the point that three more drops come out. The hachinvoni, the Mishnah continues, he's someone that's not a private person selling to a customer, but rather he's a person dealing with the public in sales. He's preoccupied with dealing with many customers. Eino chayav lahatif shalosh tipin. He's not expected to wait there with the vessel turned over and wait for the final three, for the additional three drops to come out. He doesn't have time for that, and the Mishnah recognizes his need to get on to the next customer, and hence relaxes the obligation regarding these three drops. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos im Chashecha Potur. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you're dealing with a sale during Erev Shabbos, so then we don't have this expectation. As far as what Rabbi Yehuda is commenting on, that is going to be the subject of the Gemara later. The Gemara begins. Ha mida deman. We notice the word mida is dashed, underlined. We also see an arrow in the space between the Rashbam and Gemara text. What we're expected to do with our marking system is align this arrow with a previous arrow on the page. And we notice that the Mishnah also made reference to the Midah. The Mishnah had said, Ad shelo nismales hamidah lamocher. The Gemara wants to understand who owns this Midah. The Midah meaning, as a reference to the vessel It's called midah because it was a vessel with a defined measure. It was used for measuring as well. So the midah that the Mishnah refers to, to whom does it belong? We now see also a double underline. Double underline in the marking system is part of our series markings. In addition to geometric forms, we also use the double underline to create the feeling of series and what is the role over here. So let's glance at the side of the Omid. We notice our introductory comment, the Nosei Mivneh, Shlavim, these are stages, Levarer, Shomi Hamida, Shemuskar Beresha de Masnisen. Who owns this vessel? The vessel that was mentioned in the Mishnah. So, stage one. In Lema Mida de Lokeach, if we should assume that the Mida belongs to the purchaser, then I'm not going to understand the following quote. The Mishnah said, Ad Shelo Nismales Mida Lamocher, that until it's filled up, the contents are said to still belong to the seller. Yeah, but why? Mida de Lokeach. The vessel is owned by the Lokeach, and as such, the contents, no matter how much is in there, it should belong to the purchaser. The Ella, rather, what other possibility is there? Mida de Mocher. You'll tell me it's the measure, the vessel belonging to the seller. Then I don't understand this quote. It said in the Mishnah, Mishen Nismales Hamida, Mida la Lokeach, that when the vessel is filled, when it becomes full, so the contents belongs to the purchaser. But why should it belong to the purchaser? Mida de Mocher, he. The vessel, according to this assumption, belongs to the seller. We now see the third stage of this analysis. In other words, we're trying to understand to whom does the Mida belong? Omer of Ila, the Midas Sirsur. The measure belongs to an agent, a middleman, someone who acquires from the producer and sells in turn to the customer. The Gemara asks, how can we accept Rav Ilo's explanation that it's the measure belongs to not to the agent and the middleman? V'ha midiktoni seifa, the seifa of the Mishnah, and you notice a frame around this section because it's a Tanaic quote. It said in the seifa, v'im mahoya sirsur b'nam, if there is an agent present, then nishbura hechavas nishbura lasarsur. The topic of agent came up in the latter part of the Mishnah, Michal Duresha Lab Sarsur Askinon. It's most likely then that the earlier part of the Mishnah was not talking about the Sarsur. Namely, the Sarsur was an element, this agent was an element introduced only later in the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, not so. Resha Mida below Sarsur. In the Resha, it was talking about a vessel that was owned by an agent, but the agent wasn't present. Rather, the agent was loaned the vessel to both parties, to the seller and the buyer. In other words, the vessel would be considered in the service of the seller up till the point it becomes full. At that point, the vessel would be said to be in the service of the buyer. Hence the Mishnah made the distinction that kol zman, that until it's filled, the contents is still said to be the seller's, because that was the arrangement made with the agent. Seifa, the end of the Mishnah, besarsur atzmo. That was talking about where the agent was there working with his vessel as a middleman in the deal. And hence there, the halacha is quite different. You notice in the markings how we've underlined the term resha and seifa, so as to emphasize the what was mentioned in the question, how do you deal with the fact that the resha was without a sarsur, and only in the seifa he was mentioned, and hence in the answer we felt necessary to emphasize these two expressions so that you see the distinction more clearly. Hirkina umitzis hare hu shalmocher. The Mishnah had said that after the sale was made, the oil was poured out of the owner's vessel, and the vessel was then straightened out, and there accumulated on the bottom some more oil. That accumulation of oil, the oil, belongs to the seller. Let's bear in mind that the customer bought, let us say, a gallon of oil. The seller poured out a vessel containing a gallon of oil, and the buyer went home happy with his purchase. Afterwards, the seller's gallon vessel was set up straight on the shelf again, and lo and behold, there accumulated a little bit of oil residue on the bottom of the vessel. The Mishnah tells us that that residue belongs to the seller. He doesn't have to go running down the block to find the customer and say, hey, we have some more oil coming to you. Kisolik, Rabbi Elozer, when Rabbi Elozer made Aliyah, he came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechei v'Zeiri, he met another scholar whose name was Iri, Omar Lei, and he asked him, Mi kan tona de asne rav midos? Is there anyone here who learned sources concerning measures from Rav? In other words, is there anyone left from that generation where Rav taught sources concerning measures? Afe Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi. So Zeiri pointed out to Rebbe Elozer, here, there's Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi, who learned from Rav sources on this topic. Amale mai ko kashiloch. So Rav Yitzchok, upon encountering Rebbe Elozer, he said, what question do you have? What are you trying to clarify? He answers, this is my problem, this nun. The source, the Mishnah says, Hirkina umitzis hare hu shel mocher, that the residue accumulation belongs to the seller. Vehotnan, but we have, on the other hand, a source that deals with truma tithing, and it says, Hirkina umitza hare zu truma. Let us take a look at the Rashbam, who is found on the bottom of Omid Aleph. V'hotnan gabi mafrish truma. One who's tithing truma, shtei midois mimea. Person has, let's say, 100 pitchers of oil. And out of the 100 jars or vessels of oil, two of them are going to form truma, 1/50th, that's a standard rabbinic amount for the truma tithe. So he takes these two vessels and pours them out to the vessel into the vessels owned by a kohen. The truma tithe is a tithe given to the kohen, kohanim. After pouring out the two of the 100 vessels to the kohen, the now empty vessels are reset on the the balabayas' shelf, and oil accumulates on the bottom. The Rashbam continues, Im hirkina balabayas la'oisa mida shemodat bo hatruma umitzes, and there accumulated on the bottom of his vessels some residue, hare hu shel truma benoisa la'kayin. That residue accumulation is said to belong to the kayin, the receiver. Maybe we'll parallel him to the customer, even though, of course, in Truma there's no payment made, but he's the receiver, just like a customer receives. And if you want to maintain a parallel between the case of the Truma and our Mishnah, in our Mishnah, it should have said that the residue accumulation belongs to the customer. The question having been asked, we now continue to see a response. Omar le ha itmar alo Omar Rebbe Avohu. It was stated concerning this topic, especially concerning the Mishnah, was explained by Rebbe Avohu, Mishum Yeush Bailim Nogu Bo. The reason that the customer, as opposed to the kohen, why is it that the customer does not receive that subsequent accumulation of residue? Because he has given up on it. He never expected to receive it. He's given up. That's called Yeush. The Rashbam at the top, Mishum Yeush Bailim, Shalokeach Misyoish Umafkir Oiso Mitsui. Customer comes into a shop, buys the oil. He doesn't intend to hang around until all the oil that's left on the walls of the vessel accumulate at the bottom. He doesn't have time to wait for that. That's called Yeush Bailim. He gives up on it, and hence the owner can keep it. The seller can keep it. Avol Gabi Truma Lo Shayach Yeush. However, with regard to the analysis regarding Truma, we can't apply this principle of giving up. The Mikomokom Truma He. Nevertheless, the Truma identity remains. Whether the Kohen wants to get it or not is irrelevant. It's objectively Truma oil. The Asura Lazarim, and as such, it cannot be benefited by non-Kohanim. The Gemara continues, V'chenvoni eino chayav lahatif. The continuation of the Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos im chashecha potur. The Mishnah had made a distinction between a private seller and a store owner. We said the store owner doesn't have to provide those last three drops. And then Rabbi Yehuda appeared and said that Erev Shabbos, as it gets late in the day, when Shabbos is nearby, is approaching, the party is exempt. Ibayalaho. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, Aresha koi ulakula, Odilma asefa koi ulachumra. Is Rabbi Yehuda Aresha? We call this Aleph. Notice there's a little Aleph there. The Aleph is to announce that there's going to be a base. This is called the Aleph Odilma base structure, a very standard structure in Gemara learning of a question with two possibilities. So according to the first possibility, Rabbi Yehuda is going on the Resha. That's Aresha Koi. He's going on the Resha. What happened in the Resha? In the Resha, the first opinion in the Mishnah, the Tanakama, was Mechayev, the Balabayas, all the time. Means a private seller, as opposed to a fellow running a store, a shop, private seller, he is always expected to provide those additional drops. Then, Rabbi Yehuda, if he is commenting on that section of the Mishnah, he would represent a relaxation in the halacha by his saying that the Balabayas, if it's Erev Shabbos, he does not have to provide those extra drops. So he's considered a leniency on behalf of the seller. Oh, Dilma. The second possibility was that Rabbi Yehuda is a comment on the Seifa. What did we see in the Seifa? In the Seifa of the Mishnah, we saw that the Tanakama spoke about a chenvoni, a shop owner, who was exempt, according to the Tanakama, all the time from providing the drops. And on the heels of that exemption comes along Rabbi Yehuda to say that shop owners are always expected to provide the drops, except for Erev Shabbos. So that relative to the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda would represent a stringency with regard to shop owners. The Gemara resolves. Toshma, we provide a resolution, and we'll tell you ahead of time that he, Rabbi Yehuda, is going on the Seifa, according to the source that we're about to learn. Desanya, the following Brisa, and you can see it's in a frame, being that it's a Tanaic source. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Erev Shabbos im Chashecha, Chenvoni Potter. The only time the Chenvoni is exempt is if it's Erev Shabbos, Mitneisha Chenvoni Torud. Because the Chenvoni is then preoccupied. So that having been said, Rabbi Yehuda's comment regarding Erev Shabbos was a comment referring to the store owner. And as such, he's a response to the Tanakama's version of the store owner. What did the Tanakama say about the store owner? That he's always exempt from providing the last drops. Rabbi Yehuda is saying this exemption applies only to Erev Shabbos. Mishnah. Hasholech es benoi etzel chenvoni. A father is interested in purchasing some oil. He's going to make the purchase in a shop. He sends his little boy with a coin. U modad lo beisar shemen. Venosa lo es ho'isar. The father sent him with a punyon, a type of coin. A punyon contains two isar. So the Mishnah is describing a case where the father was expecting change. He sent the little boy with the coin to the shop owner. The shop owner measured out for the child who was expected to bring it to the father. He measured out for him an isar worth of shemen and gave him an isar coin as change. Shovar es hatzluchis ve'ovad es ha'isar chenvoni chayav. Without providing detail, because that's the role of the Gemara, the Mishnah indicates something to do with the breaking of the vessel and the loss of the coin, of the change. The chenvoni is duty bound. He's obligated. Rabbi Yehuda poter, shamanas kein sholcho. Rabbi Yehuda exempts the chenvoni because the child was sent for this purpose. Umoidim chachomim Rabbi Yehuda, bizman shatzluchis biyad hatinoik. The chachomim will concede that the chenvoni is exempt when the vessel is in the hands of the child. Umodad chenvoni l'socha shechenvoni poter. In the case where the vessel was in the hands of the child and the store owner measured into that vessel and it broke, the chenvoni is exempt. The details of this mission, as we mentioned a moment ago, are left for the Gemara to resolve. As far as the Gemara is concerned, let us glance at the topic heading that we've provided on the side. In this topic heading, we have the Nosei and Mivneh combined, where we'll introduce what the topic the Gemara will be discussing and what the role of the symbols that will appear. You can glance ahead already in the Gemara text, and you notice there appears a double underline, and the double underline reappears because it is one of our series markings, and we also see the appearance of a repetitive diamond. These markings actually continue till Pei Ches Omed Aleph. So taking a look at our note on the side, we see the double underline and diamond featured. Shitois lahasbir bameh chokim chachomim Rabbi Yehuda beinyan shviras atzluchis. We're going to see opinions who are attempting to explain what is the basis of the controversy between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the breaking of the vessel. The Lechora Yesh Liftor HaChenvoni Olav. At first glance, it would appear that we should exempt the store owner from the breaking of the vessel. The Aveda Midas Havi. The fact that the father gave the vessel to the kid, and little kids are very often not careful with things they're given. It's as if the father recognized it's as if he's throwing it out. Let's now look at the Gemara. Bishlamo Isar Veshemen Deha Pligi. As far as the issue concerning the coin, the change, and the loss of the oil, we can explain the machlokas in the Mishnah, where the Chachamim seem to be, they were mechayev, they obligated the chenvoni to offer compensation, and Rabbi Yehuda exempted him. The issue would be as follows. The Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon who were mechayev, who obligated the chenvoni, hold le'oidoye shadrei. The kid was sent merely to inform the store owner of the father's interest. According to the Chachamim, there was no expectation that the chenvoni should deal with the child. Hence, the child who came into the shop with the coin was only waving the coin as a form of message, instructing the store owner to get ready for an adult to come in and make the acquisition. Hence, if the store owner took the coin and gave change to the kid and the child lost the coin, it's obvious to us that the chenvoni acted recklessly. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Lishdure Le Shadre. The kid was sent with the coin with the anticipation that the Chenvoni would send the oil and the change with the kid. Elo Tsluchis. But as far as the vessel is concerned, why do the Chachamim obligate the Chenvoni to compensate for the vessel? Aveda midas he. As far as the father is concerned, when the father gave the vessel to the child, it's as if the father was throwing it out. He couldn't really ever expect to see this vessel ever again. Why do the Chachamim obligate the Chenvoni to offer compensation? Let us take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. We have an asterisk lower part of the page indicating the point from which we'll read. Elo shiver tinok letzluchis. Amai mechayvi rabbonon lechenvoni. If the child breaks the vessel, why did the Chachamim obligate the store owner? V'alo aveda midasi she'osa balabayas. The balabayas, meaning the father of the child, he in effect was throwing it out. Sheshocha afilu reikonis biad tinok shedarko lishbor. He sent an empty vessel in the hands of this child. Let us take a look back in the Gemara. We see a double underline. Rav Hoshaya is the first in a series of attempts to explain the issue concerning the vessel. Amar Rav Hoshaya, Hocho bebalabayis mocher tsluchios askinan. We're talking about the balabayis, the father, who sells these vessels. And he anticipated the store owner was himself interested in acquiring the vessel. As a result of categorizing or as labeling the balabayis not as merely a simple father of a kid sending him to get oil, but rather the father is a seller of these vessels, we're not going to say it's avedo midas. The father was interested in the vessel getting to the store owner and the store owner buying it. Ukigon shenotlo chenvoni almanas levakro uchidishmuel. And the case here is based on Shmuel's teaching, and the circumstances are that the store owner took the vessel from the child to check it out, levakro, to check it out. And Shmuel has a halacha that has far-reaching practical applications. Tiyomar Shmuel, hanotel kli mina uman almanas levakro, a person who visits the shop of an artisan. He visits a shop where vessels are being sold. Any customer off the street comes into a shop and checks out the merchandise. Venenas biyodo, and it slipped out of his hands, slipped out of the hands of the customer, the potential customer, and it broke. Chayov, the customer is obligated to make compensation. This, of course, the Rashbam explains that there is a price, a known price on the item. The customer, knowing the price of the item, when he picked it up to check it out, he was picking it up really with the intention of buying it if he should like it. That's Shmuel's ruling. In our case, we have the store owner taking the vessel from the child to check it out in anticipation of acquiring it. Back in the Gemara, if we, in effect, line up the two shitas like that, namely the Chachamim who obligate the Chenvoni to make compensation, it's because the Chachamim agree with Shmuel's teaching. The Chenvoni, in our case, would be the customer of the vessel, the fellow trying to buy it, who's checking it out. A according to Rabbi Yehuda, the chenvoni is potter. So, if that be the case, lema de Shmuel tanoihi, should we say that Shmuel's teaching is really the subject of a machlokes tanoim, meaning that there are tanoim that would not agree with Shmuel's teaching? This is highly unlikely. Shmuel, when making his ruling, was making it in anticipation of all tanoim agreeing with it. Hence, this analysis is probably not accurate. Ella, the Gemara goes on with another, with a second attempt to explain the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the breaking of the vessel and the obligation of the chenvoni, or lack thereof. Ella, Rabbo and Rav Yosef, the Amit Ravayu, both Rabbo and Rav Yosef agree, Hocho, the chenvoni, mocher, tsluchios, askinan. We're talking about a case where the chenvoni is a seller of these vessels. Notice in our markings how we've used a circle to highlight chenvoni. Glance back a few lines. We also used a circle there to highlight balabayas. The reason for this is to show the change in explanation from Rav Hoshaya to Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Let us also look at the Rashbam. The lower part of the page, you have the widest lines there. Hocha bechenvoni mocher tzluchios, v'hach tzluchis demasnisen, the vessel that's featured in the Mishnah is not like we thought. We thought it was the vessel of the father giving it to the child, but rather it's a vessel shel chenvonihi. Shesholach loy balabayas hadomim biad beno, liknos tzluchis mimenu ulahavi bo shemen. The father sent money in the hands of his child to buy for him a vessel with oil in it. Hence, as far as this answer is concerned, there's no issue of Aveda Midas, where the father is considered tantamount to destroying it, throwing it out. The father never sent the vessel with the kid. We continue in the Gemara. V'azdo revyuda letamei v'rabonon letamayu. In order to understand the controversy in the Mishnah, the Rabban Rav Yosef say that Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are following their own known shitas. What are their known shitas? Let's take a look at the Rashbam here too. Durabonon l'tamayu di amri gabi isor v'shemen chayov. The Rabbanon, in the case of the in our Mishnah, with the case of the change that the child lost and the lost oil, we said that the chenvoni was obligated to make compensation for that. Why? The kid was sent merely to inform the owner, the store owner, the chenvoni, of an anticipated sale. And as a result of that, there was no obligation, certainly, and the chenvoni should not have sent anything with the kid. And just like with regard to the coin that the child brought to the chenvoni, the chachamim held, the chenvoni should never have taken it. The vessel should never have been given to the child either. And hence, the loss of the vessel is something the chenvoni has to absorb. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with his ruling with regard to the coin and the oil, the l'shdurei yayin, v'shemen, Utsluchis, biyad beno shadre livno. The father was anticipating the chenvoni sending that sluchis, that vessel, in addition to the shemen, or if it was a case of wine, with the kid. And hence, if the vessel broke, it's the chenvoni is not going to absorb that loss. The Gemara continues, Ihachi Ema Seifa. If we're going to accept the Rabbah and Rav Yosef explanation, let's see how this fits into the Seifa. Moidim Chachomim L'Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim who were obligating the Chenvoni, they will concede to Rabbi Yehuda, Bizman Shat Sluchis Biad Hatinot, Umodad Chenvoni L'Soicha, She Chenvoni Potter. If the vessel were in the hands of the child, and the Chenvoni measured the oil into the vessel, and it broke, the Chenvoni is exempt. Why should this be? V'ho Amris Lo Doye Shadre, according to the Rabbah and Rav Yosef explanation that the Tzluchis is to be explained like we explained the Reisha. What did the Chachamim say in the Reisha? The Chachamim explained in the Reisha that the whole arrangement with the kid was simply to inform. That's Lo Doye Shadre. And if that's the case, the Chenvoni never should have given the vessel over to the child. So why in the Sefer do we see the Chachamim are Moide that the Chenvoni is Potter, namely that the Chenvoni doesn't have to suffer any loss? As a result of this, the Gemara goes on to provide another explanation. This next explanation we'll have to wait till we get together next time. So up till this point, we conclude our shiur for today.